time for this week's Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt here with us in the studio. What do we got this week, Bruce?
Well, I was looking at an old issue of Athlon, and I came across a poem. And I said to myself, this poet has the same kind of inspiration that I have from one of the poets that when you're young, if you get into poetry, you always tend to like John Donne. John Donne is the great metaphysical poet, best known for The Flea, had a very interesting life. But one, he wrote these things called the Holy Sonnets because he was also an ordained Anglican priest. One of them is called Batter My Heart, Three Person God. And I'm going to read that very quickly, and then I'm going to we're going to read the poem that is based on that, which is really funny. Batter my heart, three-person God, for you as yet but knock, breathe, shine, and seek to mend, that I may rise and stand, or throw me and bend. You're forced to break, blow, burn, and make me new. I, like a usurped town, to another do. Labor to admit you, but oh, to no end, reason your viceroy in me should defend. But is captivated, improves weak or untrue, yet dearly I loved you and would be loved fain, but am betrothed unto your enemy. Divorce me, untie me, or break that knot again. Take me to you, imprison me, for I accept you, enthrall me, never shall be free, nor chaste except you ravish me. Now, that's the sort of overwrought poetry of Donne that appeals to young people, basically a metaphor saying that, you know, he doesn't want God to ignore him. He needs his help to be who he wants to be. So I'm picking up this old Athlon, which somehow I missed this poem, and I see a poem entitled Beer Batter My Heart, Three-Person God by Elizabeth Hadaway. And I love this. Beer batter my heart, three-person God. It lies, caught, cold carp flopping on the tilting deck of your friend's boat, spill-slicked, murmurous, feckless, fickle weed fish writhing water-wise from their thick, clumsy fingers. Tenderize me, lift me from this lake of plastic dreck. My heart may flip back soon if you don't check it. Let me swim instead inside your eyes. Imparadise me with your harmony of tongue and hand and morning, beach-fired mixed, and make me gutted clean. My slippery heart's an invasive species not yet fixed. Despite your hook down in my misery, I won't be done until you deep-fry me. And putting the Donne in the last line of a poem that quotes John Donne is just brilliant. I couldn't pass that up. I had to put that in. But what I want to talk about, this be for a while anyway, the last time we'll be looking at this book, Wheels on Ice, which, as I mentioned in past segments, starts with in 1899, a bike ride from Dawson to Nome, from the Yukon over to Nome, Alaska, and then goes on to chronicle some other incredible rides, including the Iditarod bike. And the Iditarod bike was a couple of hundred miles long and, you know, took people basically, a day and a half, 2 days. But that wasn't enough. They had to determine that 200 miles was enough, so it's now 351 miles. You can go by bike, you can walk, you can ski, or you can do all three as part of the triathlon. The only thing is the trails are a lot less well-marked. People do get lost. Sometimes you follow the banks of a river. Sometimes you follow a river. But that whole Alaska idea of getting really crazy and doing the extreme is all caught up in that. But then I read this article this morning. It was one of the last ones I had to read, and it just blew me away. It's called The Books I Carried. And it's about a woman named Alice, A-L-Y-S, Culhane, who found a group of books, a big box of books, at a landfill and said, no, books don't go to the landfill. The paperbacks were going to be shredded. The hardbacks were going to go to a mill. So she said, I appointed myself Bright Likes Book Project Outreach Coordinator after discovering 20 chest-high boxes of books at the Palmer-based recycling facility, Valley Community for Recycling Solutions. She took a whole bunch of them. She packed them into her panniers and paniers, as we would say, and began rereading Tim O'Brien's The Things They Carried, one of the great war books of all time, I think. And she began this trip across Alaska, giving away the books as she rode. which I thought was just really, she went into one place in a bar. She thought she'd give him a bunch of Louis L'Amour books for bar patrons. She put on her N95 mask, went in and went to give the books to the guy. And he said, "Lady, people don't come here to read. They come here to drink." She said, "I nodded. I backed out the door as the patrons nodded in agreement." But she went other places leaving books. And these are some of the books she left. "I left a copy of Madeline L'Engle's A Wrinkle in Time in a dozen bright light flyers beside a well-worn edition of Alaska Milepost at a place where someone had piled up a great deal of Jehovah's Witness material." She kept on going. She went. She stopped at a bike place and handed a person a copy of Alaska Bicycle Touring Guide. "I co-authored it with my husband, Pete. It contains information on every lodge in the state." Martha thumbed through the book. I explained the book was 35 years old. Some was out of date. "We'll do a revision next year," I said. Martha handed me a business card and a towel. She said, "Welcome to use the lodge shower." But she goes on, and I don't want to go through all of the books and stuff because I want people to have a chance to read this and enjoy it as it goes. But I thought to myself, what a wonderful thing to do. I mean, you go on this long bike trip, and she says at the end, "I, like O'Brien," talking about Tim O'Brien, "had lived to tell my story. I'd humped my essential and non-essential load 600 miles, averaging 50 miles a day." Now, that's not a lot on a bicycle, 50 miles a day. I mean, it isn't, but she's doing this in Alaska. She said, "My story didn't compare to O'Brien's in terms of the degree of hardship. However, there was a parallel. The things O'Brien and his characters carried shaped their identities as soldiers. The gear I carried shaped my identity as a reader and a bicyclist." I thought, man, what a cool thing to do. I would love to do that somewhere. Not because she didn't go to libraries. She went to lodges, shelters, motels, bars, and just, hey, here's some books. You might want these books. And when you think about how libraries are so important to us, less and less so because in the digital age, I suppose. But in Alaska, where libraries are few and far apart, to have someone sort of riding around giving books to them that may not be there is just sort of a cool idea. I was particularly cheered because, as you know, the state of Vermont's colleges, with the exception of the university, are giving away all their books and going completely digital. Mm. I find that just reprehensible, abhorrible, awful, scary, threatening. So I really like that. So Wheels on Ice is the name of the book, Stories of Cycling in Alaska, edited by Jessica Cherry and Frank Seuss. It's from Nebraska. And we have got a bounty of books have arrived in the last several days.
I see quite a hefty stack over there. What have we got?
We have Mark Stevens sent us The Fireballer, his novel, which Stuart Onan says is Frank Ryder is a classic American hero. I haven't started this one yet, but it looks really good.
Oh, I can't wait.
We got Beyond the Black Power Salute, Athlete Activism in an Era of Change by Gregory J. Kalis. This comes from Illinois. The Fireball is from Lake Union. This is going to be, I think, good to look at. I don't know how much in it. We got, because you got a copy too, we got David Carell's Do You Believe in Magic?
Yeah.
The year of 1966. And finally, the Canadian people were able to get us Norm O'Reilly and Rick Burton's book, Business the NHL Way.
Oh, great.
We've had, obviously, both of them on before. I also learned that Rick is a Newfoundlander by birth, and that both Norm O'Reilly and I have been screeched in. So I'm hoping they'll come and they can find some screech and we can screech you guys in. Because once you've been screeched, you'll never be the same person again. Do you know what screech is?
No idea.
Screech is a homemade rum. it's a rite of passage in Newfoundland and Labrador for people to get screeched in, and everybody makes their own. And all I can tell you is I took a sip, it was a shot glass of it, and I screeched. And I said to the guys who gave it to me, Lloyd and I forget the other fellow's name, we're up in Battle Harbor in Labrador. I said, "I have in this flask some really good scotch. Would it be appropriate to do that now?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, of course. We don't drink that stuff unless we're screeching somebody in." But it's made from citrus and rum and grain alcohol. And Yeah, it'll kick you right upside the head, just like a and you screech.
I don't want to go blind, Bruce.
No. They don't make it in galvanized pails, so you don't go blind. But it's screech. So as Norm pointed out, that if they're both able to be here when we talk to them, we'll have a new fee and two honorary new fees.
Excellent.
To be here.
So, excellent. Looking forward to all of it. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.